Psalm 119, I'd like to begin reading in verse number 57. Psalm 119, verse number 57, the Bible says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated my favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I have made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Our Father, we thank you so much tonight for the wonderful privilege we have to be here in the middle of the week and open our Bible and be reminded of the goodness of Almighty God. We have so much to be thankful. And Lord, when we think about you and your goodness in return, help us to examine ourselves and determine what we can give to you. After all, you've done so much for each of us. I pray tonight that you would bless in a very special way, minister to our hearts, take the message you've laid upon my heart. And I pray you might challenge us tonight to give our very best to thee. I pray that you take me as your servant, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill thee with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. David, who we believe wrote this wonderful psalm, was a very, very special servant of God. As a matter of fact, if you were to read, as I have done many, many times, and read your Bible and see some of the things that the Bible said about David. He was the greatest of all the kings of the nation of Israel. David was a mighty warrior. David was a great musician. As a matter of fact, the Bible even said that with all the other talents he had and being a great warrior, David was even good looking. So he had a lot of things going for him in his life. And the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect. He had his issues like everyone else. And there's so much to be able to learn from this great man. But one thing David had that a lot of people who may have a lot of other things didn't have, he had a heart that was focused on God. If you read and study him, as I have many, many times, David had no problem when someone confronted him about what was going on in his life. He wasn't one that made excuses because he had a heart for Almighty God. Now, if you look at David, there's a lot to learn from him. And twice it's mentioned that he sinned against God and he committed these horrible sins with Bathsheba and lied and adultery and murder and numbered the people and lack of faith and so many things. And you read about those things, but outside of those couple of things, you won't find anybody in Bible times as more consistent in his love for God, his heart for God, and serving God. And yes, a lot of people want to proclaim something. We'd like to be able to have the ability to play like David did, or fight like David did, or take on Goliath or a lion or a bear like David did. But if there's one thing that you want to find in the Word of God about this man, this Christian, this servant that will improve your Christian life and my Christian life, it's the first few words he said in this psalm in verse number 57. He said, "Thou art my portion, O God." He didn't say to someone else, "God is my portion." He looked God square in the face, The one who knows all, sees all, keeps record of all, looked at God and said, Thou, in all sincerity, Thou art my portion, O Lord. Here's what he was saying. All the things that I got out of the kingdom, all the power that I had in my life, all the victories that I've won, the killing of Goliath, what's most important to me that I've taken and chosen to have, it's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. You see, Lord, because you're my portion, I have power. You're my portion, I can overcome fear. You're my portion, I have help. You're my portion, I can fight my enemies. He said, I searched the world, and what was most important to me, above everything else, I made you my portion. I want to challenge you tonight. This really spoke to my heart. I want to ask you the question tonight that I want you to answer in your heart. Is God your portion? When you look at life, what you long for, hope for, what's the desire, what's the design, what's the purpose, what you work hard for, pray for, to be the choice of your life, is it to make the Lord your portion? David said, I've done that. And the Lord, I can look at you because you know all. You know my heart. You can look at me. I'm not saying, telling somebody else. Lord, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you who knows my heart, who knows everything about me. And God, I'm saying to you, of everything this world has presented to me, I chose you. You as my portion. Now, it's one thing to say that. It's another thing to prove it. And in these next several verses, I want to show you tonight evidence of what he said that was backed up by the impact upon his life. I think of oftentimes how many people say, I love God. I think of how many people that talks about how much faith I have. And how many people that talk about how much of a Christian I am? But you know, talk is pretty cheap. Talk is cheap. Talk oftentimes deceives people. Talk oftentimes influence people. Talk oftentimes even convince people. But only walk convinces God. And I want you to look at this psalm tonight, and I want you to keep this thought in mind. Have I made God my portion? I mean, of all the things in the world, if I had to grab hold of something that this world has presented, I'm not talking about just choosing between good and bad, right or wrong. I'm talking about even among the things that God has provided for us. I'm talking about above the church, above the preacher, above your spouse, above your children. God is my portion. That's what he's saying. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy commandments. When David made God his portion, it impacted his life in several ways. And very quickly, we want to go down through this psalm, and I want you to see how it changes from Lord, I'm making you my portion, to turning his life in a different direction where it could be seen by his action. Now notice how it goes. He says, Lord, because I've made you my portion above everything else, not my education, not my resources, not people in life, because I've made you my portion, it set a pattern of life for me to live by. In other words, when God's my portion, I'm going to live a certain way that's different when something else is my portion. And so he talks about what it did. The pattern of life that happened in his life when he made God his portion. He said, I have said that I would keep thy words. Thou art my portion, verse 57, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. The first thing I noticed in this pattern of life, because the Lord is his portion, he's simply saying, if the Lord's my portion, I've committed myself to him. In other words, I'm going to live every day of my life because God is my portion. I'm going to commit everything about me to him. Therefore, he says, in order to do that, I have said that I would keep thy words. In other words, he's saying, Lord, if you're my portion, and I've committed myself to you, guess what I'm going to do? The pattern of my life, whatever I do, whatever I say, wherever I go, is going to be directed by your word. Not my feelings, not my opinions, what impresses people. Because you're my portion, he's saying, I'm committing myself to you, and I'm saying to you that the pattern of my life will be guided by your word. Now, you know, the Bible talks about the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. They're not difficult. Any Christian who has a problem abiding by the word of God, here's the problem. You've never committed self to him and made him your portion. If he's my portion, he's going to guide me by his word. That's why it's impossible for any Christian to ever walk the way God wants him to walk who ignores the Bible. Doesn't God talk to us? Doesn't God give us dreams? Doesn't God give us... let me tell you, God talks to us through his word. If he's my portion, then his word has to become my guide. And the psalmist said, Lord, you're my portion, and I'm committing self to you. And look at what he said. I have said that I would keep thy words. They go together. Lord, if you're my portion, if I choose you, I choose your word. He goes on to say, along with that, verse 58, the next verse. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Is it the cordless or this one is less enough? This one? I'll stick with this one. Verse 58. I entreated thy favor. God, you're my portion. So I want your favor upon my life. Because I've chosen you above everything else. I've committed self to you, but if I really made you my portion on a consistent daily basis, I must be in communion with my Savior. I want your favor upon my life. I want that. I've entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. God, I want your favor. God, I want your mercy. God, I want your grace. But I want you to give it to me according to your word. He was a kind of a servant that wouldn't ask God to give him something he didn't deserve. It's amazing how many Christian people are praying and asking for the favor of God, but not following his word. The psalmist says, I made you my portion. I take the whole pie and the maker of the pie. I want it all. I want you. And therefore, I'm not picking and choosing. When I made you my portion, I'm telling you, I'm committing self to you. And every day of my life, I want to be in communion with you because I want your favor and I want what your word tells me I ought to have. He goes on in verse 59. I thought on my ways. And turn my feet unto thy testimonies. God, here's the pattern of my life. I made you my portion. Here's what I promise. I'm committing self to you. I will commune every day to my Savior because I want His favor upon my life. But I also realize something, because I'm human, because I'm flesh, I'm also telling you that I'm going to correct my steps. I'm going to compare my ways with your ways and make adjustments. And it's going to be in favor of you, not in favor of me. The Christian life is about making adjustments. And by the way, God never has to change. It's us who must change. And the psalmist said, I meant business, Lord. I made you my portion. When I've committed myself to you, and as I commune with you daily, and I'm looking for your favor, I compared my ways with your ways, and guess what I discovered? I need to make some adjustments. It's amazing how many Christian people today read the Bible, hear the Word of God preached, quote Scripture that tells us to do something, and never make adjustments. You know the problem is? He's not my portion. He's not my portion. Because if he's my portion, then guess what? I have to correct something. I would ask you this, but I don't want you to lie in church. But there's not a Christian in here who gets in this book that doesn't have to correct something every day. If you come to the point where you can compare your ways with His Word and you don't have to make adjustments, you just told me something. You're in heaven. That's really not you down here. You're in heaven because you have reached perfection. But when you compare your ways with His Word, adjustments must be made. That's what the Christian life is all about. And if I'm not making adjustments in my life, that means he's not my portion. I haven't put him where he wants to be. Because if I'm commuting with him every day, if I've committed myself to him, then on a regular basis, I ought to be correcting my steps to line up with his word. He goes on and said in verse number 60, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Because he's my portion. Here's the pattern of life that I'm living. I've come to the point in my life where I need to do some things. I need to make some changes. I need to line up with him. If I'm going to be in communion with him on a regular basis, if I really have committed self to him, if I've come to the point in my life where I'm doing these things, then he said, I made haste. There ought to be in me a compelling or compulsion to do right, to live right, to serve. If God's my portion, I shouldn't be forced to serve him. I shouldn't have to be prompted to serve him. I shouldn't have to be forced to go to church, forced to give, forced to pray, forced to read my Bible. After all, he's my portion because I'm communing to him. I've committed self to him. There's a compulsion in me to serve him. And the psalmist said, I made haste. I got in a hurry. Would to God that some of God's people would get in a hurry to do right.
Verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. I like this. But I have not forgotten thy law. He said, I've committed self. I'm in communion with my Savior. I'm correcting my steps. There's a compulsion in me to serve. But because He's my portion, the pattern of my life, I've got some consistency to be able to stand. Look at that verse he says. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Are we saying? I'm not going to turn from the Lord because I have a little problem in my life. I'm not going to give up. I don't think that everything's going to be perfect all the time. I'm going to have some opposition. There are going to be some problems. There are going to be some difficulties. Things are not going to always go right. People are going to turn against me. I may have some sickness. I may be without a job, but guess what? I didn't forget His word. It was still real. Just because I'm not on the mountaintop all the time and I find a little trip down in the valley, there's nothing wrong with His statutes. His word is still real. It was as real as it was when I was up here, it was real. When I fell down here, it was real. That's why Job could stand the way he stood, because he knew God never changed. So he says, thou art my portion. And because you're my portion, it gave me a pattern of life to live by. No Christian in this world can ever live a pleasing Christian life based on your flesh outside of God ruling your life. And the psalmist knew that. Would to God that we'd learn that. And then he continues in verse 62. He says the second thing. There was a pattern of life, but making God his portion. But notice the next thing that happened to him in verse 62. He said, at midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgment. Oh, the midnight hour, when things are not going just right, the psalmist said, because the Lord is my portion, I'll rise up in the middle of the night when everything's against me and still praise His holy name. You know what he said? I had a thankful, joyful heart regardless of what was happening around me. Because, get a hold of this, His judgments are righteous. He was saying, just because things doesn't go right with me all the time, God's not unfair. His judgments are righteous. That's why it's amazing how many people today can get sick or have a problem. And all of a sudden they blame God. It's amazing how great God is as long as everything is perfect. But the psalmist said, I made Him my portion. And if I made Him my portion, I trust Him. And just because I'm having a rough time and just because it's the midnight hour for me, I will still jump up and praise Him and be faithful because I know His judgments are righteous. Sometimes it rains on the wicked and the righteous at the same time. But God is always just. Wow. He's my portion. I chose Him above everything else in the world. And He gave me a pattern of life. And it's sweet to commune with Him and to commit myself to Him. And every day I'm correcting my steps. And it puts a compulsion in my heart to serve Him no matter what happens. And I've learned by now to just be a little consistent no matter what's happening in life. And when things go against me, I'll rise up in the midnight hour and I'll still say, God, You're good. You're wonderful. You're righteous. You're still God Almighty. And then verse 63. He says something else. Now keep in mind, he's talking about someone who makes God his portion. He said in verse 63, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. One of the most difficult things and troubling things in the Christian life has to do with human relationships. More Christian people today are destroyed by relationships than anything else I know. But the psalmist said, he's my portion. It affects my life. It brings about a pattern that I'm going to live by. And he says, the partnerships, the relationships that I have in my life, if I'm serving him, they're influenced because he's my portion. And he mentions these two things. I'm a companion. I have a relationship of all them that fear thee. You know what's the basis for my friendship? What you think of God. You don't love God? We're not going to be buddies. You don't love God? We're not dating. You don't love God? We're not marrying. You don't love God? I only work with you if I have to. And if you don't love God, we are certainly not going to be friends. Now, that doesn't mean I won't pray for your soul. I won't do something to help you. But I'm not spending my time with somebody who's anti-God. He said, I'm a companion. I have relationships. And then he says, and of them that keep thy precepts. The basics for my friendship and my fellowship is what you think of the God who is my portion. My portion. If more Christian people built their relationships based on what the person that you're building a relationship, what they thought of God, we'd have a lot more happy homes, a lot better relationships. But we can't yoke up with any and everything when you're God's your portion. He says, I'm a companion. Companionship is wonderful, but I want to have a companionship that's based upon what you think about God. Oh, would God would help us. David was like that. And you read Psalms. We won't look there. Read Psalms 26 and talk about the fact. And he talked about his integrity. And he says, therefore, I shall not slide. He was simply saying, I'm not going to slide. You can't hold this against me. Because you know what? I didn't hang around with the wrong people. I didn't hang around with people that were anti-God. And by the way, so this is a good thing while I'm thinking about it. Be careful hanging around people that's anti-church. And for heaven's sakes, don't hang around anybody that's anti-pastor. Especially if it's anti-senior pastor. The younger one can grow into it. The older one has less time around. Don't hang around with people that would have you preaching for lunch. And everybody won't love the church like you do, but don't hang around with people that don't want to be any part of your church. That's somebody asked me today, you know, what I do if I love another church better than I love my church? You don't want my answer, do you? I think people all love their church. But I wouldn't hang around people that hate my church. Always running my church down and running my church members down and running my family down and running anything down. Don't have companionship with those kind of people. It'll destroy you. Thou art my portion. I made a choice, he said, in life. And by the way, he knew he was a king. He was a man after God's own heart. But he chose God above everything else. Understanding if I've got him, I've got it all. But along with that came a package deal. He says, here's the pattern of life. I'm committing myself to you. I'll commune with you every day. I'm going to pray and I want your favor upon my life. But God, I'm not going to ask you to do something for me when I'm already going contrary to your word. And by the way, this is free. Stop wasting your time to pray and ask God to bless you
when you know you're already doing something contrary to what His Word says? Find that it's a waste of time. Don't do it. The psalmist said, I want your favor. I want you to bestow it upon me, but I want it to be according to your word. And he says, I have no problem testing my ways with your word. And I know that my ways need to adjust up to your word. I don't expect your word to come down to my ways. So every day I compare my ways with your testimony. And every time I do that, I make adjustments. And what it does, it compels me to serve and make me consistent in my stand.
And even when things are not going right, he says, in the midnight hour, I'll thank you and praise you. And I'm only going to be partners in labor with those that fear thee and those that keep thy precept. And then the last thing he said is very interesting. He said in verse 64, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes. Thou art my portion, he says. Lord, because you are my portion, he says, it gave me a pattern for life. A pattern for life. I've got something I can follow. Lord, because you are my portion, I can praise you in the midnight hour. Because you're my portion, he says, my partners in labor as I live on this earth, my friendships and my fellowship is going to be based upon those who fear you and keep your statutes. But then he said, lastly, because you're my portion, I have a different perspective of life. In verse 64, he expresses the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Let's pause there. Here's what we're saying. Think about the earth today. Think about the world today. We say, we preach, we teach, we talk about the last days, how bad things are, and all that's going on in this world, and what a miserable thing we think about how bad the world is and how terrible things are and it's getting worse and worse and we must be in the last days and on and on and on. You turn on the television and on and on and on. The psalmist says, because he's my portion, I don't care how bad the world is, there's still hope for the sinful. It's full of his mercy. I'm glad that in the worst of situations today, God still has given us hope for the sinful. You look at the worst person in this world, make Jesus his portion, there's hope. You look at the worst situation in this world. If he's my portion, don't you think that he knew before this world ever got to this point that little old Christian you and little old Christian me would be living in this world, raising our children, working in this society, putting up with this junk, and there's still hope? Because his mercy is still plentiful for us today. There's hope for the sinful, and thank God there's help for the spiritual. He says, teach me thy statutes. He tells us each and every day, whatever you're going through in life, God says, because I'm your portion, I can teach you something, help you to grow. And by the way, there's no excuse for any Christian not growing today if the Lord's your portion. I want to close by turning back to Psalm 17. And I want you to notice a prayer that this same psalmist prayed. He was under fierce attack. In verse 1 of Psalm 17, hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let's drop down to verse number 13. He's praying his enemies. Verse 8, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Verse number 13. Arise, O Lord. Disappoint him. Cast him down. He's talking about his enemies. Deliver me. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. Verse 14. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, notice this, which have their portion in this life. Hey, folks do things because they have their portion in this life. They grabbed a hold of success, of money, or something. God, they're the ones who's after me, the psalmist said. They made their choice. They made their choice that what's in this life is most important to them. But deliver me from them, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure. They are full of children. They've got kids. And leave the rest of their substance to the babies. They've got so much until they leave it to their children. And then he says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And here's what he's saying in this song. Those people, they have so much. They've got so much they leave to their children. He said they have everything in this life. They have decided that they're going after, through whatever ways they can get, to get their portion out of this life. But me, thou art my portion, O Lord. Let them have this life and all this life has to offer. But as for me, thou art my portion, O Lord. I don't know about you, but that says something to me. I want him to be my portion. Because if you have him as your portion, everything else will fall in line. But there's something that goes along with that. It shapes your pattern of life. It puts the praise in your heart. It helps you determine who you're going to partner with. It'll change your whole perspective. You won't look at the world in a dim light all the time and criticizing how bad things all the time. You say, the God that I serve knows how bad the world is. And he still left me down here. So obviously, he's going to give me everything I need in this life. Because one day, I looked at him and said, you know what, Lord? Thou art my portion. The question tonight is, have you made the Lord your portion in life? If so, don't just tell somebody about it. Let it be seen in your commitment, your communion, your consistency, your compulsion to serve him, your praise for him, your perspective upon life, and who you're partnering with in this life. If he's your portion, your friendship and fellowship is going to be based upon how those people love your God. Our Father.